have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather
redeemed are gathering in. Oh,
what music, oh, what singing, o'er the city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we'll wash like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shine. Saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join the song. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, oh, wash like snow. Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board. When the redeemed are gathering in, then we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed.
Bless you. Good to be in church again this evening. I want to continue to remember Brother Darrell in prayer, not feeling well. And then we've got an announcement on the arrangements for Sister Buckle's funeral. They'll be having a viewing Wednesday at 4 p.m. at Gar Funeral Home in Sellersburg, and that'll go through until 8 p.m. And then I just don't feel led to cancel service for Wednesday night. I think most people will be able to get there by 7 and still make it to church here at 7:30. And then we're also having Thursday morning, the following day, Thursday morning at 9 a.m., there'll be a viewing here at the church from 9 till 11, and then the funeral at 11 a.m. So between the two viewings, I think most people will be able to make it to the viewing without canceling service. So we'll be having a viewing there at the Gar Funeral Home in Sellersburg from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wednesday night, regular service here at 7:30. And then Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., there'll be a small viewing here at the church. And then the funeral will be at 11 a.m. If you can make it, I know a lot of the brothers and things will probably be working during the funeral times there, but if you can get an extended lunch or if you're off work that day, I'm sure the family would appreciate your support. And if you can come pay your condolences to our sister that she was just a gallant soldier and we'll sure miss her. She loved to come to church. I remember one service. It was one of those services where me and the deacons and the trustees were kind of scoping out the parking lot at the old building to see if we thought we could have service or not, depending on the conditions of the snow and things. And I got a phone call from Brother Buckles about 9 a.m. and he said, "Well, I've got the car cleaned off. Are we having service?" I thought, if Brother and Sister Buckles can make it, shame on us if we can't. So we had service. Amen. We want to. We got some other prayer requests. Want to continue to remember Sister Whitney Jones's dad in prayers. He's to have triple bypass surgery this week, and also Brother Lauren, I think, is having knee surgery on, I believe it's August the 9th. Is that correct? I think August the 9th. So we want to remember him in prayer. Well, he'll probably be out from church for quite a few weeks with rehab and things from that. But we want to remember him in prayer that everything will go well with that surgery. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Stephen, would you just come and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests tonight? Good to have each and every one of you in service with us tonight. All you home folks and the visitors, everybody.
Amen. Let's bow in prayer together. Heavenly Father, hearing the request, Lord, we know that we're needy people. We know that this is an evil age. But Lord, we know that you've promised to take care of us, Lord, to lead us and guide us through the valley of the shadow of death even. Lord, just thinking about the Buckles family, how they must feel that loss. Sister Buckles was a wonderful lady. We're thankful that we had time to spend with her, Lord, and get to know her. And we're just thankful that we know that she's with you. Come now, we pray, Lord, and comfort the family. Be with them, Lord, as they're going through this time. And Lord, for the different ones that are facing surgery, facing finding new jobs, finances, all the different things that we go through in life, Lord, just pray that those folks would be able to remember your promise, keep their eye on you, Lord, and we pray that you would come on the scene for each and every request, Lord. Lord, now for us, Lord, as we sit here in this new building looking forward to the closing where we can have this house as a place dedicated to you, we're thankful, Lord. We know that you've led us each step of the way from the old schoolhouse to the storefront to the Methodist church to here, Lord. Lord, it's been a struggle at times, but you've had your hand on it each step of the way. We just pray that you'd continue to work and make sure everything goes smooth for the closing. Lead and guide the leadership of the church as we're figuring out things to do with the different physical things of the building. And Brother Nathan, as he's laying out the services, Lord, we're so thankful for a godly pastor that listens to you and plays the tapes and preaches as he feels led, Lord. Lord, we're looking forward to whatever we have tonight, whether it's a tape or a sermon. We know that you will speak through both and that you'll work amongst your people here. Open our hearts now to that word, Lord. And Lord, help us to be open just to worship you and to thank you for all that you've done for us. We love you, Heavenly Father, and we commit this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. I believe Sister Anna Pierce and Sister Leah Leek have a special for us this evening if they come at this time.
There are two roads.
Keith and Sister Stephanie, have you got a special for us?
Could this be the same man? Killed a thousand armored soldiers with just an old jawbone he held in his hand. But look at him now where he stands. Look at him. Such a failure, how easily I'd been beguiled. The locks of my hair they had taken, seized by a woman and left helpless and bound. I'm blind now and led by a child. I'm blind now.
Appreciate our specials this evening. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together if you would. Amen. Let's sing this together. Well, I'm on my way
to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. On my way. God, I'm on my way. Oh, I'm on my way. Well, if you don't go, I'll journey on. Oh, if you don't go, I'll journey on. If you don't go, I'll journey on. Well, I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to higher ground, to higher ground. Oh, I'm on my way to higher ground. I'm on my way to higher ground. Oh, yes, I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way. Oh, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Oh, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Oh, I'm on my way. Shake somebody's hand while we sing it tonight.
We're gonna shout your kingdom down. Now listen, Satan. We're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, for I heard a voice
up in heaven say, oh Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, listen, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh, now, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom now. Oh, for we heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I said, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, now, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. For I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's. All one more time together. Oh, I said, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, yes, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 37. Job chapter 37. And you're going to have to preach with me a little bit tonight and try to help. I told the church when we had to move our times back during the rental here because the other church having services early in the morning and we had to move back an hour that I'd try to keep our services as short as I could on a Sunday night. And the Lord just kind of laid it on my heart to do something a little different tonight. And I have less than a page of notes. So we may be here for 10 minutes or we may be here for 5 hours. I don't know. But I'm just depending on him tonight. Amen. And you get right in there and preach along with me. Amen. Amens don't scare me. Job chapter 37 and verse 5. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, how thankful we are for your voice that sounded down throughout the ages. Lord, the first time that we hear of it speaking, you said, let there be, and there was. Lord, you're still speaking tonight.
Amen.
Lord, you're speaking to our circumstances, speaking to our needs, speaking to the condition that we're in. Lord, you spoke in this last age through a prophet that was sent to call out a bride. And yet we find that your prophet teaches us that you still speak through that bride and you speak through the ministry. But yet not only that, you speak through the laity. You speak through individuals. And Lord, that you still work on both ends of the line. And Lord, we just want to be so attentive to hear your voice, Lord, in whatever form we would receive it. Lord, whether it be coming from the pages of our Bible or from a tape that we would put on or someone that would call to encourage us or, Lord, whatever it would be, whatever form it would come in. Lord, maybe through a sermon that some man would preach or through a song that someone would sing. Maybe through just a word of testimony that someone would give at the right time just to encourage us. And Lord, we thank you that we're still able to hear your voice in this age, Father. Lord, when there's so many voices that are crying out and they have all kinds of opinions and all kinds of ideas, but yet you still speak, Father. Lord, may you speak to us again tonight. Lord, may you help me just to yield myself to get out of the way so that you could speak something, Lord, that would be of worth, because in myself there's nothing that would be worthwhile. But if you can come, Father, and you can begin to deal with hearts, Lord, then we know that great things can happen. Lord, we believe that you're here because you promised wherever two or three were gathered that you would be. Lord, we just commit this service tonight into your hands. Lord, whatever you would have it to be, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. I know it's been a little warm in here today, but when the heat index is 105 outside and you've got about 100 and something people putting out BTUs of their own, it's kind of hard for the air conditions to keep up as we would like them to. But at least we're not out in the jungles of Africa under a tree somewhere. So we're still blessed. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. St. Mark's Gospel chapter 13 and verse 11. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." This word here is a Greek word that they use. It's two English words, thought beforehand, but it's one Greek word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because it's about 16 letters long, but it means to take thought beforehand or to be anxious beforehand. And in looking at this, as I begin to look at some of these things, you know, I know there's many times you can tell by Brother Branham's notes that he's reading and by some of the scriptures that he's using and things like that, that there's many times he had studied in depth, like when we go listen to the church ages and he's reading out of the histories and he's teaching the seals and different ones. But I noticed even on the Hebrew series, and I quote the other day, he told them that he said the brothers that was there with him, I think I've actually got the quote here in a little bit, Hebrews chapter 3, he said he'd been studying or he'd been with the brothers all day running sick calls and things. And he said the only time I'd had to study was just in the back room here for a few minutes. And he goes and he preaches a masterpiece on the Hebrews series. But he said that many times when we go and we have our own thought and we come with our own idea, that many times that's not as effective. But when we come and it's God doing something, then we believe that things can take place. Jesus instructing the disciples here, he tells them when they take you and they want to persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues or to the politicians or whoever it would be, he said, don't worry, don't take thought beforehand and don't premeditate and figure out what you're going to say, because if we did that, it would just be us saying it anyhow. But he said, what you need to do is when you go up there, you just don't take any thought, don't take any worry, don't premeditate beforehand, but you just put it in my hands and it'll be not you that's speaking anyhow, but it'll be the Holy Ghost that's speaking. So I'm not too concerned about hearing a man speak, but when I feel like it's the Holy Ghost speaking through a man, then I begin to pay attention to what's being said. And as we read here in Job, we find out that his voice still thunders forth, and he does great things that many times we can't even comprehend. Brother Bram said it this way many different times. He said that if he knew that he was going to face a firing squad the next day, he said, worry wouldn't do me any good because worry has no positive value to it. Now, I know many of us spend a big portion of our life worrying. And we start off as a youngster and we're worried about getting through school. I know many of you are starting back to school the next week or so. And you're already thinking, no doubt, about next summer. And if you can just make it through this school year, maybe some of you graduating or whatever it would be. And you're so worried about getting through school. You're worried about getting your driver's license. You're worried about that first date or all these different things that we worry about and we ponder and we put on our mind. And then, you know, we begin to worry about who we're going to choose as a spouse. And we begin to worry about how our home is going to be and what our career is going to be and what our job is going to be. And then you get up into middle age and you begin to worry about your children and you worry about their health and their safety. And you worry about what type of school they're going to attend and what type of friends they're going to have. And you get up into the older years and you begin to worry about your retirement. Do you have enough money to retire? And how's your health? And you begin to go and you begin to get all kinds of tests ran that you'd never had ran before, never hoped to have ran. And yet you do all these things. Why? Because you're concerned. And it's okay. Brother Bram said it's okay for us to be concerned. Remember, he teaches us to be convinced and then concerned. But when it gets into a spot of worry, I'm concerned for my children. I'm concerned about their safety. I'm concerned about their health. I'm concerned about their spiritual walk and things like that. But I'm not going to sit and worry about it. I'm not going to let it keep me up at night and Satan begin to attack me and begin to worry about these things, because Brother Branham teaches us there's no positive effects to worry. I know some of you worry to death about germs and worry to death about all kinds of different things, but that worry doesn't do you any good. It's not going to have any positive effect. He said, if I knew they were going to take me out and shoot me the next morning in front of a firing squad, he said, worry wouldn't do me a bit of good. He said, it might just make me upset to my stomach or sick or give me an ulcer or something like that. But he said, but faith might deliver me. There's no positive effect to worry. I could have got up here tonight and thought, dear Lord, here I am getting up in front of almost 100 people. I don't have hardly any notes, don't even know what I'm going to say. And even through the afternoon, things would keep coming to me that I think, oh, I could say this or say that. And I would just try to shove it out of my mind because I didn't want to premeditate. Because many times when I'm going to preach, a lot of times even if you look at my notes, I don't hardly have any notes. It's quotes and scriptures, but I don't have a lot of notes like some ministers do. That's okay. I used to use more notes when I was younger, and then I found that if I wasn't careful, I'd cling real close to the notes. And notes are okay, but I'd rather have His Spirit. Amen. And if you're not careful as a minister or whatever you're doing, if you're singing a song or whatever, you'll try to stick too close to your program instead of just letting loose and letting God's program move. Amen. But we want God's program tonight. Amen. We're not here to talk about Nathan Bryant's program or the Church of the Open Doors program or Bill Layton's program or anybody else's, but we're here to talk about His program. I'm interested in His program tonight. And if we can just yield to Him, then we begin to find that He begins to speak and search out the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, as I've said before, I'm never going to be a prophet because I wasn't born a prophet. It'll never happen. Brother Bram said, you don't lay hands on a man and make him a prophet. You don't lay hands on a man and make him a singer or make him a minister, whatever it is. He said, these things are born in you. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I ordained you and called you to be a prophet to the nations. I don't know why it's hard for people to believe in predestination, because if God could look down through time before Jeremiah was formed in his mother's belly, I believe He could look down through time at Brother Hoover or Brother Joshua or Brother David, whoever it would be. He could look down through time and see them and place within them certain traits that they would need for their journey. Now, He didn't look down through time and say, well, I need to make Nathan a prophet messenger and he's going to make a restoration message. He didn't need to place that in me because He had already ordained a man to do it. He had already called a man to restore us back to the truth. So He didn't call me to do those things. I'll never be able to put my place into that position, but I do believe that God has placed me into a position in the body. I don't feel like He just does that to ministers. I don't feel like He just does it to deacons or trustees or some office, whatever it would be in the church, but I believe God is calling out a bride. She's a many nation, many tongued, many race nation that is coming out, that it's a bride. She's a people called out from a people. I don't believe she's of one color or one race or of one nationality, but He's calling her from around the world. And if He's called you tonight, He's placing you into the body for a purpose. Now, He may have never purposed for you to be a preacher. He may have never purposed for you to be a prophet. He may have never even purposed for some of you, bless your hearts, to even be a singer. And maybe the people sitting beside you can testify of that tonight. But He called you to do something. He's got something in His program that it's to be. Maybe it's to be a housewife, to raise up a child and teach it about Jesus, that would go on to be a Sunday school teacher or a minister or a song leader or something like that. Maybe your part in life is to mold the character of these children that are coming up in your home there. Maybe He's called you to be a prayer warrior, that maybe where others, maybe they pray and just seems like they have a different type of prayer life than you, but maybe He's called you to be an intercessor, to stay on your knees for certain needs in the body. That maybe, I remember Brother Branham telling a story that he was at a service one time, and it was a very successful meeting, and they said he walked up on the platform and he pulled the curtain back, and there, not blind John Ryan that we talked about, but old John Ryan that he said had the long beard and long hair down to his shoulders, and he rode the bicycle that he gave Brother Branham and all that. He pulled back the curtains on the platform, and there was John Ryan on his knees before God praying, and he said, you want to know why the meeting was so successful? This is why, right here, because there was somebody interceding. So God still needs intercessors tonight. I know a lot of people have given up and sat down and they're waiting on something God's going to do way off in the future, or they're looking back to something God did way off in the past. I appreciate those things, and we wouldn't be where we are today without those things, but I believe God is still calling a people today and that he's got a purpose for you. What if all the people in the world just sat down and gave up, and all these distributors and those that print the books and things, what if they just said, well, there's no need anymore. We've got all these things. Why do we need to try to put forth an effort? Think of the vast thousands and thousands that would never hear of this, but God's raised up a people in this age to get the books into the people's hand, to get the tapes into the people's hand. He's raised up a group of people that on their jobs and in their workplaces and in their schools to where maybe they'll never see a book, or maybe they'll never see a tape. Brother Bram said there's many people that'll never open up a Bible or darken a church door, but they'll see God through your life. And so he calls you to do something. I've seen so much of it around the message that we try to place it all on the prophet, or we try to place it all on the pastor, or we try to place it all on the pulpit, that only those on the pulpit are anointed. But Brother Branham said that that is an ecumenical spirit. He said it was Nicolaitanism. And he said he's not just the God of the platform, although we know he is the God of the platform, but he's also the God of the audience, that you have something to do. He said, even to the housewife, you have a ministry. It may not be the same ministry as mine or Brother Layton's or Brother Hoover, whoever it would be. It may not be that type of a ministry, but you have a ministry that if you'll just let God use you and you'll yield to him and get into that channel and seek his will for your life, he may say things through you at your job that you think, Lord, I don't know why I said that. And maybe a seed sitting there that maybe somebody you would have walked by and thought, oh my, they'll never be anything. But somebody sitting there hungry. Somebody sitting there searching for something. Just as the man I was telling you about the other day that we rented the building from there in Jeffersonville, and he began to ask me as I was giving him the key back, he said, what do you believe about the rapture? And he began to ask me questions about what we believed about certain things. I began to tell him, he said, I study the book of Revelations. And he said, I just feel like there's something in there for me. And I got his address. I'm going to send him a Seven Seals book because I believe what he's searching for, we've already found by the grace of God. Amen. But many times we get so focused on our four and no more, and those within our building or those within our message ranks or whatever it would be, that we fail to look beyond what God, look out there to see what God is still doing. He's still calling and he's still seeking. If he's not, then we would have been done out of here. But that last one's still out there somewhere. Maybe it's one of your children. Maybe it's your next door neighbor. Maybe it's somebody sitting at your work that's starving for something real. And they've looked, maybe they've tried to hush that holy thirst with alcohol or cigarettes or drugs or whatever it would be. And they've tried and tried to satisfy that holy thirst, but it seems like nothing they try. Maybe they've tried to find different churches and they've looked for things and all they see is hypocrisy. But maybe God's trying to raise you up in a position to where they can see something real on their job or at their school or wherever they would be, that they can recognize that God's still doing something. There's many people that are just starving for love out there. I told some of the brothers a while back, I said, you know why this church has been successful? It's because I learned early on that a little bit of love goes a long way. And you can't fake it. If I go over and say, oh, Brother Hoover, bless your heart, brother. It's so good to see you. And then as soon as I get around the corner, I tell my wife, oh, I can't stand to see that guy. Every time I see him, there's just something rises up within me. I can't hardly stand to be around him. There's something about it, no matter how big my smile is, no matter how gentle my handshake is, and how politically correct my words are, there's something about it that he can recognize. He's saying from his lips that he loves me, but there's something about it down on the inside he can tell. I'm just not too sure about that. You see some people, you get in Walmart or Kroger or somewhere, and you can see them making a beeline for the other side of the store. But yet if they did have to run into you, they'd say, oh, so good to see you, brother. Really? Then why was you running so hard for aisle 18 over there a minute ago? I've never seen grocery cartwheels move so fast. Brother Bram says it this way in Love in 1956. He said, God that's in you, he does the speaking. If you premeditate, then you do your own thinking. But if you're just willing to be the lamb, that the dove will do the speaking. See what I mean? The dove does the speaking. Now, many times, you know, when we get upset and you're trying to work on your job and you hit the wrong nail, you hit your thumbnail instead of that roofing nail or whatever you're trying to drive, many times it's not the gentle dove that's letting the gentle lamb that's letting the dove speak through. But sometimes if we're not careful, that wolf tries to rise up within us. Brother Bram said it this way. He said there was a Indian chief, and he said, Brother Branham, he said, ever since I got saved, he said, there's two dogs that live within me. He said, there's a white dog and a black dog. And he said, they just fight all the time. Just fight all the time. And Brother Branham said, well, he said, which one wins? And he said, well, whichever one I feed the most. Brother Branham said, let me go into a man's house. Let me see what type of music he listens to, what type of books he reads. Let me bring it down a little bit to 2016. What type of DVDs he has on his shelf or on his computer, or what type of MP3s that he's listening to, whatever it be. He said, you let me see what that man is feeding on, and I can tell you, no matter what his testimony says, he said, his life is speaking out louder than his testimony. It's wonderful to have a testimony. It's wonderful. Brother Branham said, it's wonderful to preach a sermon, but he said, how much more important to live a sermon? If I get up here and preach, you know, we should be kind to our neighbor and then go slap mine around, the words don't mean very much if the life behind it isn't supporting what's being spoken. But oh my, he said, whichever one I feed the most. So many times if we're not careful, and I know, you know, people get to squirming in their seats when you talk along these lines, but many times as spouses, if you're not careful, when something happens, there's a little disagreement, we don't let that gentle dove speak through us, but that black dog will begin to rile up a little bit. Or especially if it's a family member, somebody, a close friend, somebody that you're close to. If you're not careful, that wolf will begin to rise up and speak instead of the gentle dove. Now, the gentle dove, sometimes people mistake that, and they think that the gentle dove is like Joel Osteen and just pets you on the head and everything's all right and God loves you and you can just do whatever you want. Jesus had that gentle dove. Not only did he have it, he had the fullness of it. But yet one day, when he saw that the money changers were making his father's house a den of thieves, he began to bind the cords together and to run them out of the building. And most people would have looked and said, you mean to tell me that's the gentle dove? Absolutely. Absolutely, it was the gentle dove, because he had the fullness of the Godhead bodily and the Spirit was expressing itself through him. But love is corrective. And sometimes when your children do things, you have to correct those children. You don't do that because you just love to wear them out or because you love to see them sit in time out. But, you know, if they're going to go out here and play on the railroad tracks, I'm going to give them something to remember the next time not to go play on the railroad tracks. That's not because I like to beat my children. It's because I know a little spanking isn't going to disturb them as much as the railroad tracks will if a train comes down through there. And God's the same way. Sometimes he has to jerk us up and give us a little spanking every once in a while. Sometimes it comes from a tape. Sometimes it comes from a phone call. Sometimes it comes from an anointed man of God getting up and preaching along lines that just make you squirm all over the place. But yet, sometimes he gives us a little bit of a spanking to remind us, look, I love you, but I'm not just going to let you get away with everything, because there's things out there that's worse for you than a little spiritual spanking. There's things out there that if you get into, it'll cause you a lot more troubles further down the road than sitting through a service where somebody steps all over your toes. Sometimes we need our toes stepped on a little bit. Oh my. He says in Hebrews chapter 3, 1957, he said, I just wait for the Holy Spirit to give it just as he wants it. He knows where the person is at that has to have it. So if I got something made up in my mind I'm going to say, then it's wrong. But if I just let him do it, he will take it right straight to the spot where it belongs. He'll take it right straight to the spot where it belongs. How many times have we seen it in a service where somebody get up and be preaching and maybe break right into a conversation that you were having on the way to church, or that you and your wife had, or that you and one of your friends had the day before? And I can usually tell because I see people elbowing one another or looking around at each other smiling. And I think, oh, Lord, I'm on the right track somewhere. something's been said before that I'm right on the path of. And when I see that, I just stick right with it a little bit. And, you know, when Brother Bram and some of these brothers from Kentucky, my dad and different ones, dad had a brother that was a coon hunter, and they'd have coon dogs and things that would go to hunting. And if they had a good dog and that dog was trying to tree something, they wouldn't pull him back and say, no, let's try this tree over here. They'd just let that dog hunt a while. So sometimes when the Holy Spirit's hunting down through somebody's life, trying to pinpoint something, we just let that hunt a while. And we just keep dealing with that and dealing with that until we figure it's time to move on. But he says, let me read it to you again. I just wait for the Holy Spirit to give it to me just as he wants. He knows where the person is at that has to have it. So if I got something made up in my mind, I'm going to say that it's wrong. But if I just let him do it, he will take it right straight to the spot where it belongs. Many times, ministers, if we're not careful, especially as pastors, we'll see a situation in the church. And if you're not careful, or maybe a situation in the message or something that somebody has said and whatever it would be, if you're not careful and you get too focused in on that, every time you go to study, every time you go to read your Bible, every time you pick up a message book or listen to a message tape, every time you go to put your notes together or get up to preach, that's all you can see is whatever it is that you've been dealing with. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to mold your sermons, you'll begin to mold the services and the scriptures that you read and the quotes that you use around that situation. And really, that's not what we should do. Many times, remember the man that was going through there in the book of Samuel, and they was carrying the Ark of the Covenant back, and the ark began to get a little unsteady, and he reached with good intentions to put his hand to it and stop it, but the man died. And David kind of rebuked the Lord and said he was a just and righteous man, but if David had brought the ark in the way it should have been with the priest carrying it, the man would have never died in the first place. But what it was, even though it was with the best intentions, he went to put his hand to something that God hadn't ordained him to put his hand to. Many times as a church, if we're not careful, especially a church this size where everybody's family, it feels like, and we're a close-knit group, if you're not careful, everybody will begin to get into everybody's business, and before you know it, they'll go to put their hand to something to try to straighten somebody out that they feel like needs a little bit of straightening out. And that's okay if it's the Holy Spirit leading them. But if that's just their opinion, you'd be better off just not to put your hands to something until the Holy Spirit leads somebody to deal with it. Many times as a pastor, if you're not careful, you'll want to deal with something real quickly. But many times I kind of take a step back. Maybe something will happen, and it's just too soon to deal with it. You're still too close to the situation. You're emotionally connected or whatever it would be. And, oh, sure, I could come out and blast the thing and really feel like I did something, but all I would wind up doing was hurting somebody's feelings or pushing somebody away. But if you wait on the Lord's timing and you begin to look at it and you pray about it, maybe not even intentionally, just little things begin to come out in a sermon here or there that you think, oh, my, I didn't plan to say that. I don't know what so-and-so thought, but there she goes anyhow. Then that's not me getting up here with an agenda, but it's the Holy Spirit beginning to deal with things. Or maybe somebody in their prayer will deal with something that I think, oh Lord, they didn't even know what they were saying. Or somebody that'll get up here, one of the ministers, and just maybe say a few words to greet somebody or to testify a little bit, and they'll go right down a path that I know they didn't know anything about, but yet I knew about it, and I knew it was dealing with a situation. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit still working through the body. I've seen people come up and ask somebody a question, and you know, maybe nearly floor the person that they were asking because they didn't know the situation. They didn't know that they were stepping on toes. And you just sit back and think, well, Lord, I'm glad I wasn't the one that had to deal with that. But the Lord has a way of working things out. Many times we want to get ahead of God because, well, bless God, it should be this way, and we should have it this way, and we should handle this, and we should take care of that. But many times if we'll just step back and give God a little bit of time, me and the deacon brothers and different ones have seen time after time again, that a lot of times if we'll just let God handle things, many times he'll just handle it and we won't even have to do anything. But there is a time where you have to do things. There's a time for action. There's the book of Ecclesiastes said, there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to sing, and a time to cry, and all these different things. There's a time for action where we feel, you know, the unction of the Holy Spirit that things have to be dealt with. And then there's other times where you just have to step back and say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. I don't know what your purpose is. I don't know what your will is, but I'm going to wait on you till the right timing. Oh, timing is so important sometimes. And even in witnessing, I've seen many people with good intentions run out and try to give, you know, a double barrel load to somebody that doesn't have a bit more idea about the message than anything, and they'll try to ram serpent seed and Godhead and water baptism and no eternal hell and all these things down their throat in a 5-minute conversation, and the person is left scratching their head thinking, what kind of crazy person is this that I've got around? But if we'll use a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of patience, then many times God has a way of doing things differently than maybe our personality would handle it, or maybe different than what we would think. I was going to preach a service this Easter and just really had a burden on my heart, knowing that we would have maybe a lot of people come through as they do. You know, once a year you get your Easter and your Christmas crowds, and realizing that there would be maybe some people there that I wouldn't get a chance to speak to again for a long time, and just had a burden on my heart. And I text messaged a few of the minister brothers and just asked them really to pray for me, that I would find the leading of the Holy Spirit for what to do. And Brother Arnie Bird, he texts me back this scripture, and it's just stuck with me ever since. Psalms 81 verse 10, you can turn to it if you want or just write it down, but I don't believe this is just for ministers. I believe this is for individuals as well, and any member of the bride. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And he's not just talking about eating food either. Although that's good sometimes too. I don't want to get talking about that, or you all be thinking about where you're going to eat after church. But he said, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. How many situations have I run into over the years, especially the last 5 years as a pastor, where maybe somebody needing counseling, or maybe somebody going through just a very serious trial. Maybe they've lost a loved one, or maybe they're going through something in their marriage or whatever it would be. And As a human being, we begin to look at our humanity and we think, Lord, what words can I use? There's no words that I could find, or nothing I could say at a time like this that would be able to comfort. Many times, you know, words during a time like that, even if they're sincere and have heartfelt intentions behind it, many times words just fall flat. I think, Lord, what words could I say to help? Or maybe knowing that somebody is going to be at a service that's backslid, or that's questioning things or whatever it be. I think, Lord, in my human inability, how could I ever have anything to say that would make a difference? And then I just remember, but he said for me not to worry about what to say or what to do or how to handle all these things. He just said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. And sometimes in talking with people, Lord, maybe give you something to say, and you think, Lord, I don't know where that came from, or if that even made sense to them. And then them come back around later and say, you don't know how much that meant for me, this or that was said. And maybe sometimes you think, I don't even hardly remember the conversation or whatever it would be. But what is it? If there's something good that can be produced, I don't believe I have any right to be able to get up here and pat myself on the back and say, oh my, didn't I do a good job? Because if there's anything good that's produced or anything that's spoken that would help you spiritually, it couldn't be me to begin with. My intellect doesn't have the ability to help you when you're sick. Intellectually, there's nothing I can do for you. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a nurse. Intellectually, I could put a Band-Aid on you maybe and give you some Neosporin and some aspirin. But my intellects fail when people come up and say, Brother Nathan, the doctors say this, this, and this, and it looks very bleak. I don't have the intellectual ability to be able to do anything for them. I don't have the political correctness to be able to form words that would woo them or soothe them or comfort them. I'm just not that type of person. I'm not very politically correct. If you've been coming very long, you recognize that by now. But what it is, how could it be that somebody would come up in a prayer line and need prayer, and me and these brothers gather around? We have no ability on our own to heal them any more than we could take flight and walk out of here and fly with our arms to Cincinnati. We have no ability to heal. So why would somebody come forward and ask for prayer? What is it that's in a little piece of cloth and a little bit of oil and saying some words over somebody? Can you explain to me the mechanics of that? That how would anything be produced of that that would be of any benefit? Well, if it's the oil that's in my hand that does it, then we should just fill up the whole baptistry with it. When somebody's sick, we'll just baptize them in the oil. It's not the chemicals or the makeup of the oil. It's just virgin olive oil that you would buy at Kroger or Meijer or wherever you shop, Walmart, whatever it would be. We probably paid about $2.49 for a big old bottle that'll take us years to go through. There's nothing of eternal value in the oil. Or to take a little piece of cloth that's from some sheets that Brother Green had cut up in Arizona and Brother Branham had prayed over. There's nothing of eternal value in this piece of cloth. In fact, one day when the atomic bombs begin to fall, this piece of cloth will burn up just like the rest of it. There's nothing of eternal value in the piece of cloth. The words that I would speak to say in a prayer, there's nothing of eternal value in that. I couldn't form words that would be right or sufficient or that could perform some type of magic that would heal somebody. There's nothing in the words that I'm using. If it is, then we should write those words down and just repeat those same words over everybody that comes through. Well, this worked on the last guy, so we'll use these same words. No. What is it? It's that there's a promise in the scripture.
Amen.
They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is there any sick among you? Let the elders bring forward and lay hands on them and anoint them with oil and I'll raise them up. In Acts chapter 19, they took from the body of Paul handkerchiefs and aprons. It's not the oil. It's not the words. It's not the cloth. It's obedience to the word of God. And obedience to the word of God, my, we've seen it produce so many things. We've seen healings. We've seen miracles. We saw one Wednesday night when Brother Layton was preaching. We had a prayer line afterwards and five people was healed instantaneously. Now, I love Brother Layton, but there's nothing he could do to accomplish that.
Right.
He loves me and I was standing there and prayed for those people too, but there's nothing I could do to accomplish that. But what was it? Obedience to the word of God.
Amen.
Produced something, it materialized something in those people's lives that healed them instantly. That's more than a man can do. We can't take any credit for that, but it's just yielding to him and obeying his word. Now, you may not have the same calling. You may not have the same gift in your life, but Brother Branham tells us that every Christian has a right to pray for the sick. Every Christian has a right to pray for the sick. So if there's, you got a family member that's sick and you try to get a hold of me or Brother Layton and get our voicemail, you don't have to give up and say, oh Lord, I guess they're just done for. He's commissioned you to pray for the sick. The commission wasn't just to the fivefold ministry that prophets and pastors and evangelists, but all the disciples were standing there and he said, go ye into all the world. Lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. I think of the little woman. I'll watch my time here before it gets away from me, but I think of the little woman up there in the balcony that Brother Branham talks about in the prayer line. And there was a sister sitting beside her with the sick baby, and she got up and gave the woman her seat. The Holy Spirit was leading her to pray for the baby, and she thought, oh my, maybe if I give her my seat, that'll just kind of calm that burden on my heart. And she gave the woman her seat, and she was standing there. Something kept telling her, pray for the baby. Well, she noticed the woman had a prayer card there, and she thought, oh my, Brother Branham's no doubt going to pray for her. Who am I to pray for this woman? And she just kept kind of leaving off from it. And finally, the burden got so great, she asked the woman, she said, look, I see that you've got a prayer card, and I hope Brother Branham will pray for the baby. But she said, I have a burden on my heart. The Holy Spirit keeps wanting me to pray for the child. Would you mind if I prayed for it? Now, this isn't a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist or a missionary. I don't even know if she was a Sunday school teacher or what denomination she belonged to or what kind of church she went to or anything. This is just a lay member, just a sister in the audience. But the unction of the Holy Spirit is leading her to do something, and she lays hands on the child and prays for it. And it just so happened that night in the prayer line, the woman's prayer card was called, and she came down through the line there. And when she did, Brother Branham said, your baby is already healed. There was a woman in the balcony that prayed for her, and she was already healed. He said, what if the woman hadn't done that? He said, maybe there would have been a rebuke from the Holy Spirit. But many times, if we're not careful, we allow Satan to beat us up about our own inability. Oh, you're nobody. You're nothing. Well, in one sense of the word, that's absolutely right. But in another sense of the world, as a member of the bride of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham said that one soul is worth 10 million worlds. So we are somebody. Not because of our own works not because of our own accomplishment or our mental capacity to be able to quote scripture like a machine gun or whatever it would be, not because of any of that, but because he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That makes you somebody tonight. Investments, 1962, he said, the trouble with we people today, we're not dead earnest about these things. We cope our words. We're afraid to say something that's unethical. He said, God promised to fill your mouth. Turn yourself loose to him. Don't take no thought what you're going to say, but we get so ethical with it. Well, I may not have that problem, I guess. But sometimes we are, if we're not careful, we tend to be on the reserve side that, oh, I don't want to do anything fanatical or I don't want to say anything that would be out of line. Brother Branham said it this way. He said, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. That doesn't mean we get fanatical and get all off into all kinds of things. But you know what? I don't think any of us have got fanatical yet. If it starts to get fanatical, we've got church order and conduct order doctrine and things like that to bring us back around. But I'm not worried about that. He said, oh my, we'll be able to handle those type of things if a little bit of fanaticism begins to rise. But I don't want it to get so dead that the spirit can't move. Sometimes I look around and see some of you, I just want to grab you and shake you a little bit to make sure you're still alive. Make sure you still got a pulse. Brother Branham said, if your religion don't have emotion, you better bury it because it's dead. That doesn't mean that, you know, Brother Hoover, he got to dancing in the spirit the other night. That didn't offend me at all. I hope anytime the spirit moves like that, he does it. But I don't want somebody on this side to just start dancing because Brother Hoover did it. Amen. We've had people speak in tongues and interpret. That's wonderful. I don't have anything against that. I believe if we do away with that, we have to do away with the other seven spiritual gifts, which is healing and wisdom and knowledge and all these other things. So I don't believe that those things have been done away with. But yet I don't believe that just because one brother would do that I have to work myself up into something to try to do it because he did it. It's not carnal impersonation. It's just letting the Spirit move however he would move on you. Maybe your personality or the way that you worship God, you would just lift your hands to heaven and begin to weep and cry, and maybe the next person feels like running around the building. I don't care how he expresses himself through you. You just let him express himself through you however you are. Now, I know some people say, oh, I'm just reserved, and Brother Luke Gibson said that, you know, he had a brother there at his church that when he would get up and sing, he just didn't show any emotion at all. And he said he saw him at a baseball game one time, and he said he was about to tear the place down. He said, don't you ever tell me that you're not emotional. Many times we're just emotional about the wrong things. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. He put his words in Jeremiah's mouth to where it wasn't just Jeremiah speaking anymore, but it was God speaking through him. We'll look at it in the coming months here on this series that we're on Speak the Word, how that Brother Branham said that the bride of Jesus Christ would be the final voice to the final age, and that she would have thus saith the Lord, or she would keep still. That means that his voice is going to be through her again. That doesn't mean that we're going to come up with a new message and do away with what Brother Branham said. As I said last week, those guys thinking they've gone up into the intellect and bypassed the eyes. Yes, they have. They went crazy up there in the intellect and lost their mind. They've gone completely nuts. I'm not trying to bypass the prophet. But I do believe that there'll be a group of people in the last age that God will be able to speak through. It won't be the Son of Man ministry. We've already had that. It won't be a restoration of the Word. We've already had that. But there's needs in the people's lives that sometimes they need somebody to speak something to them. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. Maybe it's a word of prophecy. Maybe it's a word of wisdom, whatever it would be. But there are people that have needs. And I believe that there's a people in the land today that God can still put his words in their mouth. It won't be contrary to what the Bible said. It won't be contrary to what the message said. If it is, it won't be God's words that they're speaking. But when something is spoken forth, maybe you're going through the deepest, darkest trial that you've ever had, and somebody pick up the phone and say, I know it's 9:30 at night and maybe it's too late to call, but I've just had a burden on my heart for you all day, and God led me to say this to you. There was a lady a few months ago that tried to take her life, and God gave me something to say to her to encourage her. I believe it was God that gave me the words to speak to her. I didn't have anything that I could say that I thought would be of help, but he gave me something, laid it on my heart, and said to tell her that I've given her a second chance and I didn't have to, and make the best of this one. Well, I didn't think those words. That was just something that came to me to say. I'd be scared to death to call her and tell her that if I didn't think it was God. But yet God still speaks.
Amen.
He speaks to us in times when we need encouragement. He speaks to us in times when we're discouraged and depressed. And maybe it's through a tape that you turn on and you're so discouraged and downtrodden. And you turn on and something said that speaks directly to what your need is. And you just feel that spiritual uplift. Or maybe you sit down of a morning and maybe you've just been, Satan's been beating you up all night over things. And you turn over into the Bible and you read that same verse that maybe you've read 5,000 times before. But this day it means something real to you because it's speaking to your circumstance and where you're at. God has ways of speaking.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, Paul quoting Psalms 95 and verse 7. He said, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." I hope that we can still recognize his voice. I want to hear his voice however he would speak to me. Sometimes he speaks to me through a brother. You know, when I get around some of these older brothers, I won't call them old, but they're older than me. And some of these older brothers, minister brothers that come to the church or that I fellowship with or whatever it would be, and I get around them, sometimes, you know, I just listen to what they're saying because I recognize they've been around the block a few more times than I have. And I try to glean wisdom from that and see if the Lord's trying to show me something through trails that they've already blazed that maybe I haven't been down. Or when I turn on a tape, I don't just turn it on just so that I can say I listened to X amount of tapes this week. Or when I pick up the Bible and read, I don't just pick it up and read it so that I can check it off my checklist that, oh my, yes, I read my Bible and prayed, so I guess I'm a Christian today. I don't do that. When I open it up the Bible or I turn on a tape, I'm looking, Lord, what would you have for me? Is there something I need for my own life or something that I need to relate to the church? What is it that you have? I still want to hear his voice speak to me in this age. Many times he had to call and call and call. He called Samuel three times. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. Finally, Samuel got the message. But many times he'll tell us through one person, then another person, then another person. And yet still, it seems like we just ignore it. But I remember, I've told it here before, but maybe there's some that hasn't heard it. Jerry Clower told a story. He said there was a man during the time of flood that water began to get up around his porch, and a little John boat came by and said, "My, you better come with us. The flood's going to come and wipe your house away." He said, "No, God's already told me he's going to save me." And then the waters got a little higher, and he was up on the roof, and a bigger speedboat came by and said, "Sir, you better get in the boat. The whole town is flooding." He said, "No, God's already promised me he's going to save me." And finally, he's up on the chimney there, standing with the water around his ankles, and a helicopter flies by and drops him down a ladder with a bullhorn and says, "Come on, the whole place is going to wash away." He said, "No, God's going to save me." And he dies. And he wakes up in heaven. He said, "Lord, I don't understand. You said you were going to save me." He said, "Well, I sent you two boats and a helicopter." Many times we try to make it some big spiritual thing that we've got to figure out, and the answer is right there in front of us. God keeps trying to knock and trying to tell. We listen to the tape, and the pastor gets up and preaches the same thing, and somebody tells us something on the phone, and we're reminded again and again, "Well, I'm just looking for an answer." Well, maybe God's trying to put one right in front of your face, but you're like that man Brother Bram said in the quote the other day, you're so narrow-minded that if you put a pencil in front of your face, it blinds you. Oh my, God help us. If the musicians would come this evening. I hope you're encouraged tonight to recognize God still speaks. And he's looking through somebody that he can speak through. Brother Bram said he has no hands but our hands, no lips but our lips. And he's waiting on somebody that he can use, somebody that he can get a hold of. Maybe there's somebody at your work that I would never come in contact with, no matter how good my intentions or my desire to witness or to be an encouragement. Maybe our paths would never cross, but yet he's placed you there to be a witness. He's placed you there to speak something that would encourage. God still speaks tonight. He's looking for lips that he can speak through. He's looking for hands that he can work through. Oh my, I believe that he's still here. He's still a present help in the time of trouble. But I believe he still uses men and women today to encourage us, to say things that would be a help to us. Brother Bram said it this way. He said, we need one another now more than we ever did. I believe it, especially in this dark age. I believe it, that we need one another. I need my brothers and sisters. I believe if I was on a desert island somewhere, that God, by the Holy Ghost, would give me the strength to survive and make it, and I'd come out all right. But he didn't place me on a desert island. And I don't want to live that way and isolate myself when he's given us brothers and sisters that oh my, they're such a help to us sometimes. They're such an encouragement. Even, you know, during times like this, the Buckles family and the Bruce family and different ones that have lost loved ones, and you begin to see people pull together and offer to help and do whatever they can and offer to try to cook meals or just to be there to show their support and things. Sometimes you don't realize how much that's needed until you're there. Brother Branham said he used to think, he said years ago, when he's saying the quote there, he said, years ago I used to think, what on earth does it mean just to send a bunch of flowers when somebody dies? But he said, when my mother died and the people sent flowers, he said, it meant so much to me. Sometimes we don't realize until we're there ourselves how much a word of compassion or encouragement or just something to help somebody along their way. When you're going through a trial or you're going through a loss or you're going through something like that, many times you see people, they get away from the Lord a little bit and everybody wants to run them down and shove them down. That's the time we ought to be lifting them up and trying to help them, trying to reach out to them. A man that's drowning, he doesn't need you to put your foot on his head and shove him down further. He needs a hand to lift him up out of the waters. Amen. God bless you tonight. I know this coming week there's a lot of the young people that start back to school. I don't want to embarrass them by bringing them up here. Oh, I thought about it, but all of you that's school ages, that's getting ready to either start school or go back to school, I just want to have you to stand tonight. And we're just going to have a word of prayer for you, whether you homeschool or public school or private school, whatever it would be. We just want to offer a word of prayer that God would be with you through the school year and your studies and just to protect you and keep you safe. In this age that we live in, we certainly need it. Amen. Philip, I know you're not feeling good, buddy, but you can stand up, I think. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. See these young people that's represented here tonight? Amen. Brother Bram says it this way. He said, if there's an age that's to come, that these are the young men and women of this coming age. We need to do everything we can to encourage them and be there for them. The things that we had to go through as young people, my brother Branham and some of the people of my dad's age, Brother Hoover's age, Brother Layton's age, these other past generations, they didn't have to go through many of the things that we had to go through as young people coming up because of technology's increasing and evil on a rampage like it is and all that. But these young people of today, they're going through things that we didn't have to go through as young people. And I know how hard it was coming up as a young person myself, the peer pressures and the things that Satan would try to throw in your face. Oh my, we ought to plead the blood of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit for these children every day. Every day. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we feel your presence here tonight, and Lord, knowing that the young people are going back to school, some of them do their school at home, or some of them go to co-ops, or some of them go to private schools or public schools. Lord, wherever they would be, Lord, wherever they would go, Lord, we just ask that you'd keep your guiding hand upon them, that you would protect them and keep them safe. Lord, there's so many, Lord, things that Satan's trying to do to try to disturb and try to attack any way he can. Lord, the pressures of the age and peer pressures and technology and just the enemy on a rampage trying to do anything he can to distract our children from the things that are eternal and get their focus on temporal things that have no eternal value to them, Father. But Lord, I just ask that you'd be with these children, Father. Protect them. Everywhere they go, Father, may your Holy Spirit just, Lord, may it be a covering to them. May it be a protection around them, Father, all the days of their life. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ for our children, Lord. Lord, we apply the token to them, Father. Lord, that as your prophet told us, if the Philippian jailer could have enough faith for his own salvation, he could have it for his family's salvation. Lord, we apply the token tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ for these children. May you lead them and guide them. Be with them. Lord, may they never stray from you, but if they do, Father, may they never stray too far to where you couldn't reach them and bring them back, Father. Help them to recognize that they have mothers and fathers that love them and care about them and would give their lives for them. Lord, that we have their best interests in mind. Help them to look around and recognize, Lord, even the leadership in the churches, that we care for them and we want to do everything we can to be an encouragement to them, Father. Lord, may we as parents use wisdom, Lord, to where if they would have a trial or something that they're facing, that they could have confidence in us to come to us and talk to us about it. That we could be a buddy to them in their times of trials, times of weakness, times when the enemy would come in and try to sift them, Lord, that you would raise up a standard against him. Lord, we thank you for this group of people gathered here tonight. We thank you for these other local assemblies and your bride of Jesus Christ assembling herself around the world. We thank you for every member. Lord, we didn't sign a paper, but you put our names on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. What an honor and a privilege it is to be numbered in that number. We love you, Father. Thank you for all that you're doing. We give you praise and glory and honor. Lord, if there's any needs tonight, Lord, may you just minister to those needs, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you, young people. You can be seated. Let's sing this together. This is number 92 in our hymn book. I don't know that we've ever sang this before, but I've got confidence in my musicians. Amen. Oh, when the coal of fire had touched the prophet, making him as pure can be. Oh, when the voice of God said, who'll go for us? Then he answered, here am I, send me. Oh, speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak and I will answer, Lord, send me. Let's sing this verse together. Oh, millions now in sin and shame are dying. Listen to their sad and bitter cry. Oh, hasten, brother, hasten to their rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I. Oh, speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I will answer, Lord, send me. Amen. Well, somebody had said last week that when we moved into the new church, we needed to break it in right. And I didn't feel led to last week, but I just thought we'd sing this tonight. Some of these old Pentecostal songs. I mean, I know sometimes people don't like noise and they don't like a church that gets a little excited, but the disciples were coming into the city one day and they asked, the Pharisees asked Jesus, said, can't you make that bunch of holy rollers be quiet? He said, well, I can, but if I did, these rocks would cry out in their stead. Amen. So I don't want no rock crying out for me tonight. Key of G. Amen. Let's sing this. Help me sing these together tonight. We're just going to worship the Lord a little bit. I'll try to get you out soon. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, let's bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of my Jesus. It's like no other name I know. Oh, there's power in the name of my Jesus. Oh, there's power in the name of my Jesus. Oh, power in the name of my Jesus. It's like no other name I know. Come on and bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, let's bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of my Jesus, like no other name I know. Oh, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Oh, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Oh, just walk around me, Jesus. Just walk around. Won't you walk around my bedside now? Oh, when I need healing, walk around. Lord, when I need healing, won't you walk around? Oh, when I need healing, Lord, just walk around. Oh, walk around my bedside now. Oh, we've got Jesus on the main line. Just tell him what you want. You've got Jesus on the main line. Oh, tell him what you want. It's Jesus on the main line. Oh, tell him what you want. We've got Jesus on the main line now. Oh, friend, his line ain't ever busy. You can tell him what you want. Oh, his line ain't ever busy. Just tell him what you want. His line ain't ever busy. You can tell him what you want. You've got Jesus on the main line now. If you have a need tonight, why don't you call him up? Call him up. Tell him what you want. Friend, you can call him up. Call him up. Oh, tell him what you want. Oh, just call him up. Call him up and tell him what you want. Oh, it's Jesus on the main line now. I want to pray. Oh, praise him. Oh, let's praise him in the morning. Gonna praise him in the noontime. Praise him. Won't you praise him? Oh, let's praise him when the sun goes down. Oh, love him. Don't you love him? Oh, yes, I love him in the morning. And I love him in the noontime. Love him. Church, let's love him. Gonna love him when the sun goes down. Let's sing it this way. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven comes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven comes down. Oh, sometimes I feel just like heaven comes down. Oh, heaven comes down on me. And I want to praise him. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him on the timbrel and praise him on the organ. Oh, praise him. Church, let's praise him. Oh, praise him when the sun goes down. Just worship him tonight. I laid
this I lay my burdens down. Oh, I've been feeling so much better since I lay those burdens down. Oh, I've been feeling so much better since I lay my burdens down. Oh, and this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, church, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, no, I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, I won't let Satan blow it out. No, I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. Church, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, yes, and Jesus gave it to me, so I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, my Jesus gave it to me, so I'm gonna let it shine. King Jesus gave it to me, so I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in this army. Oh, I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Ain't gonna be no turning back in this army of the Lord. Be no turning back in this army. Ain't gonna be no turning back in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Oh, I'm a soldier. Yes, I'm a soldier in this army. Oh, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Oh, if I die, let me die in this army of the Lord. If I die, let me die
comes down. Oh, heaven comes down on me. Well, glory, glory, oh, hallelujah. Since I lay my burden down, oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I lay my burden down, oh, I've been feeling so much better since I lay those burdens down. Yes, I've been feeling so much better since I lay all my burdens down. Oh, I've been singing, I've been shouting since I lay my burdens down. Oh, we've been singing, oh, we've been shouting since I lay all my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise Him on the organ. Praise Him on the timbrel. Praise Him with your hands. Praise Him with your voice. Oh, He's here tonight. Glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Since I lay all my burdens down, oh, I've been feeling so much better since I lay my burdens down. Oh, I've been feeling so much better since I lay all my burdens down. I want to I'm gonna praise Him, gonna praise Him in the morning, gonna praise Him in the noon. I'm gonna praise Him, church, let's praise Him, gonna praise Him till the sun goes down. Oh yes, sometimes it feels like heaven comes down. Oh, sometimes it feels just like heaven comes down. Oh, sometimes it feels like heaven comes down. Oh, heaven comes down on me. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Help me bless that wonderful name of Jesus. I want to bless that wonderful name of Jesus. It's like no other name. I know there's power in the name of Jesus. So much power in the name of my Jesus. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. It's like no other name I know. Oh, just walk around me, Jesus. Lord, walk around. Oh, walk around me, Jesus. Won't you walk around? Oh, just walk around me, Jesus. Lord, walk around. Lord, just walk around your bride right now. I promised Him that I served Him
till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I'd, oh, I'd serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I lost my flag in battle, and my staff is in my hand. I'm taking it to Jesus over in that promised land. In distant lands I trod, crying sinner, come to God. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, we're on the battlefield for our Lord. Oh, yes, we're on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I, oh, I'd serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I was alone and idle, I was a sinner too. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took my pastor's hand and I joined a Christian band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, Lord, I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I promise him that I, oh, I'd serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible said? Oh, have you got it? Friend, have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible said? Oh, we're gonna need it. We're gonna need it. Oh, we're gonna need it like the Bible said. We're gonna need it. Oh, we're gonna need it. Like the Bible said, thank God I got it. Oh, thank God I got it. Yes, I've got it like the Bible said. Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it like the Bible said. Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it like my Bible said. Oh, have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible said? Oh, have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible said? Oh, we're gonna need it. Gonna need it. Gonna need it like the Bible said. We're gonna need it. Oh, we're gonna need it. Gonna need it like the Bible said. Got it like the Bible said. Thank God I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it. Got it like the Bible said. Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Oh, got it like the Bible said. Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it like the Bible said.
praise him on the timbre and praise him on the organ. Let's praise him, we'll praise him, the Son of Man.
Love the Lord. Amen. His presence is real, isn't it? Amen. Let's sing this together.
Oh, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. And he leads me safely through the same sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, look down on me.